Given the damage they've caused.
Hi, BBs. Welcome to this week's episode of the Burn Black Audio Zine. I am your host, B, and you are in your place for radical wellness, mental health, and astrology. How are you guys doing this week? We got a Gemini moon. I love a Gemini moon. I have two siblings with a Gemini moon, and intellectually, I probably vibe the highest with them. We are the most connected. I too am an air moon. In fact, actually, come to think of it, all of my siblings are air moons, except for my oldest sibling on my dad's side, who is a fire moon. But the rest of us, we are all air moons. A bunch of airheads in this family, I tell ya. Anyway, I love a Gemini moon. I was listening to a Gemini moon record earlier. I was listening to the record, The Art of Drowning by AFI. Davey Havoc is one of my favorite Gemini moons. Let me tell you a story. I went to go see the band Burn play at Gilman when I was living in the Bay Area. And I was in the balcony and I looked down below and I see Davey Havoc there. Not moshing, mind you. But there's something really special about him. Like, some people just look like a vampire, but like in a very shiny Edward from Twilight way. And Davy Havok is just one of those people. He was wearing the most magnificent black ballet flats. His skin was flawless and white. His hair was black. It had this perfect one little dreadlock going down his forehead. He's just kind of fabulous. And then he jetted away in a Batmobile, I tell ya. So we all go after the show to this Thai place in Berkeley on Shattuck, who, shout out to them. It's probably the only Thai place on Shattuck. I could be wrong, but I mean, you can figure it out and look it up if you're really that interested. They do have the best pad Thai, I have to say, in Berkeley. And we're all just eating, minding our own business. I remember being very excited because I don't drink soda very often. It was a soda day. And then I look up and I see the singer of Burn walk in. No big. But then who is behind the singer of Burn but Davy fucking Havok. Oh my god. I couldn't even eat my pad Thai. I was so excited. And I didn't say anything because when I love someone, I don't talk to them because I want to respect their space and boundaries. So I just look at them like a freak, casting little spells of good wishes from a distance. And that is pretty much how I play it when I like someone. I don't talk to them. We have to work on that. Okay, B. This is what we work on this year. Getting you to have the courage to actually talk to people and say hello like a normal person. I'm so talky, but when I like someone, I shut down. Whatever it is, I just shut down. We gotta work on that. Anyway, enough about me. Let's talk about you guys. How are you guys doing this week? I feel like pretty good. Everyone I'm talking to kind of feels kind of like I have a few friends that have been telling me that they've just been feeling kind of depressed this week, which makes me feel odd because I feel so high spirit. It always seems to work like that. I work against the universe. Maybe that's the Aquarius in me. I don't know. But it is what it is. I hope you guys are doing okay and hanging in there. This week we have on the podcast Daniela Gill, who is this incredible Akashic Records reader and breathwork facilitator. She tells this crazy story. I won't ruin it for you, but she had a love spell put on her in another life, and it all leads to her profession. So stick around. I'll let Daniela tell the story herself. And we got another great episode for you guys this week. Enjoy yourselves. Welcome. I want to start at the beginning. How did you first hear of the Akashic Records, and how did you get to the point where there's a desire to want to teach that and to share that with other people?
I went to a retreat, and one of the retreat facilitators offered everybody in the retreat a complimentary 15-minute reading after the retreat. So I did the reading, and she said a bunch of nonsense. She said a bunch of things that didn't make any sense to me at all. So,
like what?
I was considering doing this mentorship, this one-on-one mentorship for psychic development, mm-hmm. and to cultivate my offering as a breathwork facilitator. At the time, I was facilitating breathwork. And she, when I asked about whether it was like a good investment, it was the largest investment I'd really ever made. She said something that didn't, it was like a total non sequitur. She was like, oh, I'm seeing this image and this symbol and all these things. And it just made absolutely no sense at all. So I totally forgot about the reading. And then it all came true in a really roundabout and totally unexpected way a few weeks later.
Can you explain that for us? I love synchronicity stories, so you're not punishing me at all. I'd love to hear about it.
Okay. It's a very intense and strange story. So it's actually extremely vulnerable for me to share.
Do you feel comfortable sharing it?
I will share it. Yeah, absolutely. Because I so value transparency. And I feel like at the end of the day, we're all one. So when we're hiding from each other, we're just hiding from ourselves.
Absolutely. So that's kind of like the basis of this project. So I appreciate all vulnerability. So go ahead. Tell me your synchronicity story.
So she told me in the Akashic reading that I was just wondering if I should hire this man as a mentor. And she told me that she saw us in this dungeon and it looked black and red, and that he had cast a love spell on me and an attraction spell. Ooh. And this was in another lifetime. Him and I were together in another lifetime. And she said that I represented this like being of purity, and that he was like this dark magician, this dark wizard, but that I completely trusted him. And that in this lifetime, like, him and I were in some sort of mentorship type of container, but it was one based on manipulation or something really strange. And that made no sense to me, because this man, like, from my perspective at that time, just totally mm-hmm. incredible. Like, I could not wait to learn from him.
So when did that change?
Well, I did the mentorship with him and it was amazing. I learned so much. And about like early on in the beginning of our mentorship, we were on the phone one day and I was on my way to Disney. I was taking like my 10-year-old sister to Disney and he made me laugh and I'm laughing and laughing. And then when we get off the phone, I just had this like spontaneous, super intense attraction to him, after having had zero attraction to him for the entire, I don't know, 6 months, year that I had known him.
Wow.
And the attraction came on so strongly. And all day long at Disney, I could not stop thinking about him. I became completely obsessed and like consumed by thoughts of him and an attraction to him. So I saw him in person the next day for our session. And I told him that I was very attracted to him. And at the time, I had a boyfriend. So I told him that I was feeling very attracted to him. And he told me that I was empathing his feelings for him. And then he told me that he felt that he could best show up for me in a mentorship container, not in a lovership or in any sort of partnership. So I was like, okay. Well, I guess I can't argue with that. And then we like resume our session, but I just like stopped the session. I was like, I can't take this seriously. I just feel so attracted to you. Like, I like just can't even imagine continuing this mentorship the way that we have. And he said, before we act on these feelings, I think it's important that we ask grandmother ayahuasca. I was like, wow. Oh, okay. So that weekend we sat in like a large group ayahuasca ceremony, and ayahuasca, to make a very long story short, she showed me a black cord connecting us. And by the way, I had not thought of the Akashic record reading not once before this moment, but she saw a black cord connecting us and she told me that it was a love spell that had been placed on me in another lifetime that was essentially enacting itself in this lifetime. I was like, what? And ayahuasca goes, cut the cord. And it was like this black cord connecting us. And I was so in love that I refused. I was like, no.
Oh my gosh.
I love him and I trust him. And she was like, cut the cord. It's black. Look at it. And I look at it and I'm like, no, like I love him and I trust him and I trust love. Like I trust my feelings of love. I trust love. And I was arguing with ayahuasca. I'm like, I trust love. I trust love. I trust love. No. And ayahuasca goes, well, this is what's going to happen if you keep this cord. And then all of a sudden I started getting so sick.
Oh my and goodness.
I felt raped by the masculine. Like I became the earth and it was like humanity, like the masculine humanity was like raping me. And it was so weird. It was so intense. I was like, oh my God. And then I felt like I was going to purge. I was like, oh my God, I need to cut this cord. So I cut the cord and the love spell was done and I threw up. I like purged a bunch. And then the next morning, I literally felt nothing for him.
Wow.
And this was over the course of 4 days. And I had told my boyfriend too. I was like, oh my God, I just developed this like really intense attraction to my mentor. Like, I need to do something with this. I was completely all consumed to the point where I couldn't eat or sleep.
Wow. So it was like very manic energy.
Extremely. It was the most strange experience of my life by far.
And let me ask you, is that, I'm assuming that's very atypical when you are in a normal relationship with you. Like, for instance, you mentioned you had a boyfriend. So that sort of manic energy was not normal in your relationship.
Not at all. And I thought that it was indicative of having met my soulmate. And wow. Then like afterwards, like literally a day afterwards, I was like, wait, what? I thought it was my soulmate. Like,
so crazy.
Yeah.
I have definitely felt that energy before, and now I'm curious if I had a black magic spell from a past life with this person, because I couldn't understand it. This person wasn't even necessarily giving me the attention that I wanted, but I felt so, like, I felt it was definite past life energy. Like, I'm sure that's kind of maybe how you felt. Like, you just feel like you know them on some level, and it's intense, and you don't sleep and you don't eat, and you're just like, why is this person taking over my mind? This is insane. So I'm really glad that you got that out of your system. So then did you go back and think like, wow, when I had my Akashic records taken, they like said this thing was gonna happen, maybe I should revisit it? Or did it take some time to make that realization or connection?
I realized it the next day when I was telling somebody about it. It just hit me out of nowhere. I was like, whoa, this is exactly what was happening to me in the Akashic record reading that I completely forgot about. And right after that, I ordered a book on the Akashic records.
Wow. Okay, so what book was it?
It was the book by Linda Howe on how to access your Akashic records.
Amazing. And so we recently did another episode about the Akashic records, but I feel like it's important to ask everyone, because not if you ask different astrologers will have a different answer on what astrology is. So to you personally, what are the Akashic records? What is it like when you are doing a reading? What do you hope to give to the person participating with you? And I guess maybe what are some of the questions and answers that lead to a metamorphosis from learning about your Akashic records?
So I'll start with the first question you asked, which was, what are the Akashic records? They are the subtle energetic imprint of everything that has ever happened, everything that is happening, and everything that could happen.
Wow.
And Akashic comes from the Sanskrit word Akasha, which means ethers or space, which is essentially the primordial element. It is what existed before everything else, before fire, before air, before earth, before water. And it's what gave rise to everything. So it's like the Akashic records, it's ethers, it's space, and it's the knowing. It's the living library of everything that has ever happened, every thought, every circumstance, every action, every decision, every emotion, and everything that is happening, and then all future possibilities.
So let me ask you, I'm sorry, I have a sub question to that.
Yes.
If there are multiple possibilities for the future, is it possible to somehow, for lack of better words, edit the Akashic records, and or is everything sort of set in stone? Okay, cool. Can you get into that a little bit?
Yeah, the Akashic records are always creating us, and we are creating them.
Interesting.
So the Akashic records are what tells you, like women can like create, you know, we can create life, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Akashic Records teaches us that. Your appearance, it's all coming from the Akashic Records. Everything that you do, everything that you create, it's all coming from this realm of infinite possibility, which is the Akashic Records. And then every single thing that you do has its imprint in the Akashic Records. So we are actually the creators, the writers of the Akashic Records. And the Akashic Records are constantly informing and creating us.
Wow, that's interesting. I never thought about it like that. So if somebody wanted to get a reading from you, what are some of the best scenarios for them to come in? Like, where is the ideal client coming from? Obviously, they want to come from like a place of change, but I guess what sorts of things do you feel like it can supply the answers for efficiently, I guess is what I'm asking.
Absolutely anything and everything. So there are many layers to this. One, I think it's best to come to a reading when you are in this space of being so willing to let go of everything that you think you know and be more open and receptive to the nature of reality, which is that of infinite possibility and of tremendous potential. People can ask anything, but you won't always receive the answers that you're seeking. You only receive the answers that are most relevant, empowering, and healing for you to receive. While we are in this human incarnation, we are interpreting everything through our human mind. And our human mind does not have the capacity to comprehend the totality of the Akashic Records, which are essentially the knowing of infinity and eternity. And the human mind is designed to make sense of this seemingly limited and linear experience of life. So to grasp infinity and eternity and all that is and all that could be, it's simply too much. So according to Linda Howe, who's one of the world's leading experts on the Akashic Records, she says that we speak to the masters, teachers, and loved ones and the lords of the Akashic Records. And they are the ones who are communicating to us what we need to know from the Akashic Records. You can ask anything and you will always receive the answer that serves you to receive at that time. And one of my favorite examples of this woman once came for a reading and asked about meeting a life partner. And what came through was that she was going to meet him really soon in Hawaii. And she was like, oh, well, that's stupid because I have no plans on going to Hawaii. And I'm a single mother and I just started this spiritual business. I don't have any money. That doesn't make any sense to me. I just can't imagine going to Hawaii. A few months later, she was invited to speak at a retreat in Hawaii, but they were barely going to cover her expenses. And she normally would have said no to an opportunity like that. But because of the reading, she said yes. And she went and she met the man who is still her partner today.
Amazing.
So she was really excited and she wrote about it on social media. And then one of her friends came and booked a reading with me and she had all these expectations around the reading. And she asked, when am I going to meet him and where? And what was revealed for her was that she had a lot of patterns and wounds and ways of relating to men that were actually keeping love at arm's length from her. And she had patterns of emasculating men and not trusting love. And therefore, the answer to what, when am I going to meet him and where was not available to her because there wasn't enough momentum behind the creation of that in order for it to already exist in any sort of tangible way in the field of what is most likely to occur in a way that I could perceive and then share with her about.
So if that woman would have gone from that session and she would have, let's say, I don't know, began some sort of therapy, began some sort of like changes within her life to work on those root issues, the inner child wounds that cause people to interact that way with one another, regardless of being in a romantic relationship or not, do you think it's something where she could access it later in a different reading, or is it kind of just not in this lifetime? You're not here to learn that. You're here to learn how to undo it. Or does it really differentiate between each person?
We would have no idea until we actually went into another reading with her, because in my experience accessing the Akashic Records on behalf of clients is that the idea of soulmate or of life partner or of who you're going to create a romantic partnership with is radically different for everybody. I have had people before me who it feels like they have many possibilities for people they could choose to partner with. And then other people, they just feel destined to meet this one very specific person with a very specific frequency that I can actually describe in detail. And that I've been told later has been like an incredibly accurate description.
Is it differentiating from each person, or is it just specific to that individual and what they see as love that you could explain? Or is it generally the same?
There's so much that goes into, no, it's radically different for the person. And
yeah,
there are some people who have soul contracts with one person. Like, we're going to have a relationship in this lifetime because I know that it would serve us both and we would both yeah. create major expansion from it. So when someone comes in with a soul contract to meet someone, then it appears very clear, like, okay, that's what's going to happen. And then for other people, there's just far more, in a sense, freedom of choice.
Yeah. Do you think that people have multiple soul contracts in this lifetime? Do you think it's possible that they're yes. not just platonic, or I'm sorry, romantic, but they could also be platonic? Like, I often feel like I have a particular friend in my life, and it's kind of random that we became friends, and I never thought we would become as good friends as we are. And we live in different cities, which allows for the space for us to, like, live our lives separately. But it's like this very safe place where we can go together when we connect. And this particular friend is very shy, very introverted, and doesn't really allow a lot of people into her life. And so I just always feel in my body as an intuitive person that we have multiple lifetimes together. And what's very interesting from, like, an astrology perspective is this is an energy in an astrological sense that has profoundly changed my life over and over and over again in different forms. I've had 4 different people come into my life I find extremely powerful that I experience in the same way in my body that are Taurus suns, Aries moons. And so it's just like and this girl happens to be both of those things. And I experience her energy in a similar way to the other people who have that as well. And so I feel like these people, they might not be permanent artifacts in my life, but once somebody disappears, another one reoccurs, and they feel very, I'm trying to think of a way, spirit guide-ish, like we're spirit guides for each other. Because I know, like, the idea of, like, an angel is someone who watches over you and protects you, but whereas a spirit guide is just somebody to, like, walk along and hold your hand along the way, and you can bounce questions off of, these people have all fit that role in my life, which is very interesting. So I'm just curious if you feel like that can come to you in multiple ways and in platonic ways.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I feel like we generally, humanity has placed too much emphasis on the role of the romantic relationship and that partner, when really our needs for intimacy expand far beyond that and in many ways are much healthier met in many different areas, like in friendships and with family and, yeah, in all sorts of places.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I've really appreciated about that particular energy in my life is because a lot of them came into my life very briefly and abruptly in intense ways, but didn't stay long either by passing away or just, like, you know, life gets in the way kind of thing. The friends were there, like boomerang friends where they, you know, you go away and then you come back together, like no time has passed type of thing. Like, I feel like it taught me love, and it taught me loving with boundaries and loving with space, because these are not necessarily people that you see every day, but that when you talk, it really goes somewhere and it leaves like an imprint, like you said, like the Akashic records leave an imprint. Like those are those relationships. So I think that that's really cool. Have you ever looked into the astrology of people that you have soul contracts with? Have you ever found your own coincidences either with astrology or other modalities such as like tarot or something?
Yeah, it's essentially the same exact thing. Oftentimes, oftentimes what's reflected is that anything that comes from the Akashic records is it's also written in the stars. And
it's so funny.
I used to host moon circles when I first started sharing. I used to host moon circles, and I would talk about the I called them like, I don't remember, like energetic downloads, like what is the energetic climate of this time? And if people would assume I was an astrologer because it's the same, like whether it was an astrologer speaking on what's happening astrologically or someone who's just reading the energetic field, it's pretty much the same.
It's funny because I've gotten into human design recently and I've noticed the correlation between human design and astrology and like all these people that have come into my life. And are you familiar with human design at all? Or?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I was going to say they're all projectors. So it's interesting because projectors are supposed to be guides to begin with. So, and I'm a generator. So that makes sense in human design. So, and then I just can, like I said, in astrology, they had the coincidence that I all have, they all have is, they all have our Taurus suns and Aries moons, and a lot of them have Neptune in their first house.
Wow, cool.
So, and Neptune in the, and you know, Neptune is in the first house creates a projection, which is funny. So it's all kind of related to each other. I would love to learn more about the Akashic Records. What are some of the more interesting things that people don't know about the Akashic Records or some things that you found that might be unusual?
When I first started my work in the Akashic Records, I thought that in the Akashic Records, I would find the highest truth. And in working in the records, I realized that there is no highest truth. There is only an infinite number of perspectives. And that is a perspective of like every human being of every moment, and every single perspective is valid and real, and no perspective is superior or inferior to any other perspective. There is only higher perspective, and higher perspective essentially is Akashic perspective, which just means more closely resonant with the perspective of God. And the perspective of God is the culmination of all perspectives.
Interesting.
That's it.
Okay. So I hear a lot about when you're dealing with the Akashic Records, you have to be open to the idea that the dimension in which we see things, this 3D world, is not necessarily the only dimension that exists. And the idea that we have to be open to there being more. What does that look or feel like for you? Because I think that that's the hardest thing for a lot of people to conceptualize is that there are other dimensions, but it's so hard for people to even really discuss what that means. And it's so individual as well, because you create your own reality. So I'm curious, like, how you experience dimensions outside of the one that we are familiar with. Like, what does it look like, feel it's, like, any of that?
It's very obvious to me that there that this is a multidimensional experience. And I feel like when people deny or reject that, it's because they don't really have their eyes open. Because think about when you go to sleep and you dream, like, what is that? That's another dimension. And any thoughts, any fantasies, when you get like lost in like some fantasy, some like image in your mind, it's like, you could almost play out a movie in your mind. Like, what is that? It's another dimension. When you have intuitive hits, like, where did that come from? It's clearly another dimension. Even like the past, like, you're just imagining that. That's not actually in, that doesn't exist in the 3D, the past.
Yeah. But and that's also different to everybody who's experienced based on perspective. And there's studies done that say that like most people don't remember the past accurately because they're only remembering it from the perception of like what embarrassed them or what hurt them. And someone sitting across from them might have a totally different experience of the past. So like they will remember the past totally different.
Absolutely. Everything is subject to our projections and our distortions. And to me, this is very clearly a multidimensional experience. There's so much to it. It is such a miracle. It is such a mystery. There's so much. It's like, I feel like human beings have gotten so obsessed with like science. Like the only thing that is true and real is what I can prove is true and real through the scientific method, which is so incredibly limited. There's so much more that the human mind does not know. And I feel like it's a game of the ego to pretend that the human mind knows, to pretend that it is in any way superior to life or knows more than life. But life is like this, it truly is a living, breathing miracle, the way that the human body is made up of these trillions of tiny little cells who work tirelessly for our existence, who come together in such perfect harmony, and the way that the sun shines and it gives life to everything on earth, and the way that flowers bloom, and when a flower blooms, it provides beauty and a beautiful fragrance, and it provides, you know, nourishment for the birds and the bees, and it all comes together in such profound harmony. I mean, the way that we can create life, like souls can just come into being, we can just give birth through making love.
That is quite amazing. What the whole thing.
And that is the brilliance of life, which is so beyond what the human mind could ever possibly grasp or comprehend. And there is a knowing to us, like we know, like our body knows how to digest our food and how to breathe and how to, you know, move blood through our body. Like our body knows how to do all of it, yet we don't know. And I feel like for too long, we've been glorifying the knowing of the intellect and forgetting about all the other knowings. But the other knowings are the knowings through which you access Akashic perspective.
I have a confession. I'm kind of obsessed with vintage lingerie, and I have been pretty much my whole life. Which sounds kind of weird to say, but I also grew up obsessed with Courtney Love, and her style was so informative to my own personal style since I was a child. I love slips, I love teddies, I love taking the pinup girl style and making it my own. And when I'm looking for good vintage lingerie, Bride of the Fox has my back. They are a store located in Roanoke, Virginia, but they have an online presence, so you can shop online too. And you can find them on Instagram at Bride of the Fox. They have great items all the way from 1915 to the 1990s. Right now I'm kind of obsessed with this teddy that they have. It's like kind of beige and beautiful and silk, but what I really love is that it has a 40-inch bust, and it's so hard to find lingerie that's like good for someone who's kind of top heavy like me. So if you're also into vintage lingerie, you should go right now at Bride of the Fox on Instagram, and you can check out their Etsy store. Some of their stuff is also on Instagram. And if you do live in Virginia, go to their in-person store. They even have private appointments.
So if anybody wanted to purchase a session with you for an Akashic readings record or reading, how can they go about doing that?
They can visit my website. It's DanielaGill.love, and then click on book and you can book online. If you prefer an in-person session wherever I'm traveling, then you can send me an email to book that.
Awesome. Any workshops or anything that you're working on that's online that other people can access if they're not in the state that you're in?
Yeah, right now I am going to be launching my next Akashic Records practitioner training online. It's starting August 7th, 2020. It's going to be every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 p.m. PST, and it is an Akashic Records practitioner training where we're going to be learning how to come into the elevated, expanded state of consciousness that allows us to access the Akashic Records. We're going to be working on intuitive development and how to activate and trust our psychic sight, how to communicate information and downloads and offer energetic transmissions from the Akashic Records, as well as creating a group coaching container where we're going to be using the Akashic Records to explore ourselves and our own lives and catalyze our own growth, hold space for our own elevation of consciousness and spiritual growth and development. So you are invited to that. That's going to be launching in April. And if you're listening to this after April, you can check out my website for the next launch.
That's so exciting. I can't wait. Is there anything else that you want to plug or promote or any books you're reading that you're really excited about?
Ooh, so I actually stopped reading books and stopped consuming a lot of content after I started accessing the Akashic Records. Like, completely lost interest. It was really interesting. And anytime I've tried since then, it's my general feeling is I'd rather take out my journal and read the Akashic Records. So no books, but I am really excited to share that I'm also hosting a retreat in June, June 1st to June 7th in Crete, which is one of my favorite places on earth. And that is also going to be an Akashic Records practitioner training, along with some incredible yoga and breath work and ecstatic dance and exploration of some of Crete's most beautiful and pristine beaches with crystal clear Mediterranean seawater and incredible hikes. We're going to be visiting sacred ruins. And I especially love the energy of Crete because all the oracles lived on Crete. And I spent all of last summer there, and it was the most psychically clear I have ever been anywhere. I feel like there's an energy there, a frequency that's really supportive of psychic opening.
That's amazing. That sounds like so much fun. Thank you so
Yeah.
much for your time. I can't wait to have you back on. Hopefully, we'll
Have a better technological connection.
we can I can have everybody ask you all sorts of questions about the Akashic Records now that they're more familiarized with what they are and how they can work for them. So I'm really excited to have you back.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be back, and I would love to answer everybody's questions. And it was such an honor to connect with you, and
Yeah.
thank you.
Awesome. Have a great evening. Bye-bye. So I was at the Leather Archives in Chicago, and I got this book, Sexuality, Magic, and Perversion by Frances King. It's kind of amazing. And there were a few BDSM play spells I thought were really kind of amazing. They have things like they even have recipes for like love lube, pleasure lube, sex magic lube, psychic opening lube. They have love teas, bonding teas, psychic opening teas for tantra play. I just thought that that was really cool. There's these different knot spells in there as well. So I thought I would like share one of them just because I thought it was really cool. The nine knot spell is by knot of one, the spell's begun. By knot of two, I make it true. By knot of three, so mote it be. By knot at four, the open door. By knot of five, the spell's alive. By knot of six, the spell is fixed. By knot of seven, the earth and heaven. By knot of eight, the stroke of fate. By knot of nine, the thing is mine. So cheesy, but I kind of love it. There's a bondage invocation, and it says, I bind your feet as the tree is bound to the earth so firmly that even the hurricane cannot move it. May you always remember what it be rooted. I bind your knees so that you know humility and the life of the animals who are your brothers. May you always remember not to ignore what is beneath you. I bind your thighs, taking from you the walking worlds. As a serpent crawls upon the belly of the earth mother, may you always remember what it is to be close to her body. I bind your genitals, givers of joy and desire, for desire is coupled with choice and responsibility. May you always judge well when you say yes or no to that joy. I bind your belly, center of your survival, for neither gorging nor starving, does honor your nourishment. May you find balance between judgment and appetite. I bind your hands, makers and doers of the world, with the hope that they shall do only good work. May you always remember the power in these tools. So amazing. I love this. It's so... This is the nerd stuff that I really like, guys. There's a knife blessing. Steal from the nerve center of the earth, cutting the edge of my mind. Be partnered with my hand. By the power of fire that I forged you, I give you spirit. And then you're supposed to run the blade quickly through a flame or a candle lighter. By the power of breath that cooled you, I give you spirit. And then you run the blade through incense or you just breathe into it. By the power of earth from where you hence torn, I give you spirit. Then you hold the blade against your bare flesh for a moment, giving it warmth. By the power of all the waters in the world, I give you spirit. And then here you dip it in the water or give a few drops of your blood and you place it in your own lover's orifice or what you do it well. By the power of dawning light, be only one with flesh with my will. And then you hold the blade up to the light so that you can see it flash. You kiss it, sheath it, and then put it away. Pretty badass. I highly recommend finding this book if you can. I don't know if you can order it online. I'm completely fascinated. I want to do all of these when I find my special someone. And so now I've shared it with you. I hope you guys have a wonderful, sexy week. And now time for 5-minute diagnosis.
Hi, my name is Barry. I do a podcast called Generic Insight, and I wanted to talk about my diagnosis, which is called PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder. PMDD can best be described as a condition in which women and people with uteruses happen during their occurs mostly before, during, and sometimes even after their menstrual cycle. It's sort of like PMS, but can be described as, in the best way I can put it, it is PMS with PMS on steroids. PMS with, it's also known as PMS with common symptoms of, that mimic the symptoms of bipolar disorder. I came to be diagnosed with it when I was 20 years old. I am now 38. And I've since discovered that some of the women that are in my family have it too. So go figure, this whole time it was probably genetic. One of the things that it causes me to do mostly is that causes me to have extreme bouts of irritation. I go into crying spells, extreme depressive spells, and extreme bouts of mania. It could have irritability and anger, frustration a lot. And it also, just as I said, it is, you know, it is with depressive symptoms and is mimic of the symptoms of bipolar disorder. Negative stigmas are that it is basically PMS. And unfortunately, it is so much worse than PMS. And anyone who suffers from it can consider it. It is also due to the fact that I was born with a heavier level of test. Even though I'm assigned female at birth, non-binary, I was born with a heavier level of testosterone in my body rather than estrogen, which causes the PMDD to be higher than most. Some of the negative stigmas I'd like to discuss, again, is that it is just PMS, when unfortunately the reality of it is so, so, so much worse. I've had trigger or content warning. I've had bouts of suicidal ideation and been hospitalized for symptoms of bipolar disorder, only to have them go away the following day once I've gotten my period. It occurs mostly during mid-cycle and sometimes right before, but sometimes during and sometimes after. It also will make the physical symptoms of my period sometimes 10 times worse as well. I basically would just like to be treated as a person who has symptoms of normal types of depression or mental illness, since it is very similar. And a lot of times I've had people say to me that because it tends to be more physical rather than mental, but the physical and the mental often coexist in many different places, and they are unfortunately mutually exclusive in a lot of ways. And I would basically just like to be treated as being taken seriously and not having someone laugh or made fun of when I talk about it. Some things that people can do as a friend or partner is just be there to support someone. Make sure that this person takes the medication they have, if they are on it, to make sure that they take it. If a person says that they need to be left alone for a little while, then do it. And if a person comes to you to vent, just let them vent. I think that's the best advice that I could give. Thank you to B for allowing me to talk about this for 5-minute diagnosis. For more information regarding PMDD and how to get diagnosed, you could look up PMDD on WebMD and clevelandclinic.org.
Burn Black presents the Burn Black Book Club. Say that 5 times fast.
This week, I'm reviewing the book Pleasure Activism, The Politics of Feeling Good by Adrienne Marie Brown. Adrienne Marie Brown is an emergent strategist, facilitator, doula, healer, and pleasure activist. They start the book off with a few intentions that I'd like to share with you now. Recognize that pleasure is a measure of freedom. Notice what makes you feel good and what you're curious about. Learn ways that you can increase the amount of feeling good time in your life to have abundant pleasure. Decrease any internal or projected shame or scarcity thinking around the pursuit of pleasure, quieting any voices of trauma that keep you from your full, sacred sensual life. Create more room for joy, wholeness, and aliveness, and less room for repression, oppression, self-denial, and unnecessary suffering in your life. There are a few pleasure principles that are shared in this book, so I would like to share them with you. What you pay attention to grows. We become what we practice. Yes is the way. When I am happy, it is good for the world. The deepest pleasure comes from riding the line between commitment and detachment. Make justice and liberation feel good. Your no makes the way for your yes. Boundaries create the container within your yes is authentic. Being able to say no makes yes a choice. And moderation is key. Adrienne Marie Brown says in this book that trust is a crucial part of the intimacy that yields pleasure for ourselves and others. This book is an interwoven conversation with insights from other feminist thinkers on a wide array of subjects, from sex work to climate change to race and gender to sex and drugs, building new narratives about how politics can feel good. And what feels good always has complex politics of its own. Adrienne Marie Brown says that we can use our erotic desires to fight oppression. And they even give us homework assignments in addition to the critically deconstructed essays about pleasure surrounding these issues in our society. This book supposes that pleasure is a nonviolent, direct action way to be an activist. And I think that that's pretty cool. Pleasure is a measure of our freedom. And that's the first ambition a writer and a healer and a teacher should have. Pleasure is not one of the spoils of capitalism. It is what our bodies, our human systems are structured for. It is the aliveness and the awakening, the gratitude and humility, the joy and celebration of being miraculous. I highly recommend this book of essays. If you live in the Chicago area, it is available through the Chicago Public Library. If you do not live in the Chicago area, you should check out if your local library also has it. But if it does not, may I recommend getting it from AK Press, which is an amazing anarchist publishing company and distro based in the Bay Area, which focuses on amazing work like this. Check them out online and check out Pleasure Activism, The Politics of Feeling Good, and all of Adrienne Marie Brown's work. It's amazing. It'll change your life. It's already changed mine.
And now for the self-care tip of the week.
Greetings and salutations. This is Lucy Fielding. I am a queer, non-binary femme. I'm a resident in counseling based in Charlottesville, Virginia, who specializes in sex therapy and gender therapy. I'm currently working on a book, Trans Sex, Clinical Approaches to Transsexualities and Erotic Embodiments, that should be out at the end of the year. And this is my self-care tip for the week for Burn Black. When we think of self-care, we often think of activities that take an hour or more, going to the gym, taking a long, luxurious bath, a hike or long walk in nature, a spa day, a longer lunch, or a cat nap. But what if you don't have an hour or half an hour? What if you have less than 15 minutes, less than 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute, or less than 5 seconds? This is where a self-care inventory can come in handy. A self-care inventory is a toolbox, as it were, because you may need different kinds of activities or rituals to be responsive to an array of different occasions or moments. When working with clients to develop their inventories, I encourage them to think of activities according to different chunks of time, beginning with 1 second and going up to a full day. Of course, because I'm a sexuality professional, solo sex or self-pleasuring, the ultimate self-care, will be a suggested part of that list. Because, as Oscar Wilde said, to love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance. But I thought I'd share 3 items on my inventory apart from solo sex. First thing in the morning, the moment I get to my office, I will often start the day with a 5-minute dance party. That really helps me set the tone for the day. Prince's Erotic City is a perennial favorite. If I only have 2 minutes, I'll often make recordings of myself reading a poem, usually something by a queer poet that's pretty erotic. Many of my relationships tend to be long distance, so these readings, these erotic ASMR recordings, help me bridge the distance and help me feel connected to a lover or partner, and they to me in turn. Finally, if I only have 1 or 2 seconds, as in the middle of a tough processing session, I will often lock eyes for a split second with one of the many objects I have in the spaces I inhabit. These objects are talismans and totems, imbued with rich personal histories and resonances for me. They help ground me, center me, and remind me of the fiery, fierce femme I am at my core. Locking eyes with a special object takes only a second, and sometimes all I have for self-care is a second. The point is, there's always time to care for and soothe our embodied psyches. What's in your self-care inventory? What do you do when you only have a minute, 5 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second?
And that's our episode for this week, guys. Thank you so much. Stick around next week. We have Stephanie Camponi, who is an amazing tarot reader, and she is the official sex horoscope writer for Dame Products. I love you guys. See you next week.
Burn Black.